Let us pray. Gracious God, by your Spirit, speak to us from your word for the glory of your Son. We pray in his name. Amen. God has raised Jesus Christ from the dead, and he has seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. He has done this through an extraordinary working of his mighty power, through the death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus. These acts, or better, this act, is the most extraordinary event, the most phenomenal demonstration of the power of God in all history. As a result, Jesus now reigns far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and above every name of this age and any age in the past or the future. All things are under Christ's feet, and he is the head of all things, and all this for the sake of his people, his bride, the church. All of this, the writer of the letter to the Ephesians is at pains to say, this is the victory of God, the reigning of the crucified, resurrected, and ascended Lord. The writer might say to us who are going through an election campaign, whoever wins this or any other election, Jesus is on the throne, the ultimate ruler of the universe, and his kingly rule will never be shaken. And yet, we wake up on Tuesday morning to the news of 22 dead at the Ariana Grande concert in the Manchester Arena. This is the softest of soft targets. The singer's fans are young, very young, teenagers and children, most of them girls. They go out on Monday night, their biggest fear that she won't play their favourite song or that they will be tired at school tomorrow from their late night. Kids, parents, music, fun, all things the bomber hates. So where is the unshakable reign of Jesus now? Or, towards the end of the week, we pick up the much less publicized news out of Egypt. A bus full of Coptic Christians on pilgrimage to a monastery south of Cairo is stopped by a group of masked gunmen. The gunmen open fire. 29 are killed. Again, this is the softest of soft targets. I have sat in coaches heading for Coptic holy sites out of Cairo myself. There is nothing you could do to stay safe if someone wanted to hurt you. Christian people, families, many of them, seeking to deepen their faith, massacred for their faith. So where is the unshakable reign of Jesus now? I'm not going to fob you off with an easy answer. The simplest thing to say, although it really isn't simple at all, is that I don't know. I don't know why these things happen, why God doesn't intervene. But I hear hints in our Ephesians text that this kingdom in which Jesus reigns, that the writer seems so certain of, is in some ways still in the process of becoming, that it isn't all here yet. The writer prays that his readers, us, may receive from God a spirit of wisdom and revelation as we come to know him. He prays that the eyes of our hearts may be enlightened, that we may know the hope to which we are called, the riches of our inheritance, the greatness of his power. Perhaps in the heavens this kingdom has fully arrived and can never be shaken. But here on earth, our ability to see it and grasp it and live it, well, that's still a work in progress. That's why, amidst the horror of Manchester and Egypt, the stories of human goodness, of love, of care, matter so much. Those are stories of that kingdom of love beginning to be apprehended, Stories that give us hope that evil doesn't have the last word, that the best of us can be seen in the worst moments, that love will win. That's why it's right, too, that we respond to the Archbishop's call to pray, "Thy kingdom come," over these days between Ascension and Pentecost. When we pray, "Thy kingdom come," we pray that more people will know the love and grace and power of God in their own lives. We pray that those sparks of divinity which are placed in each of us and which the Bible calls the image of God will be fanned into flame. We pray that evil will be overcome, that hope will be restored, that love will indeed win. We pray that the kingdom of God will finally and truly come here on earth as it is in heaven. Let it be so. Amen. We turn now to prayer.